Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. Yes, it is, 'cause I told Satan to get thee behind. 'Cause joy today is mine. Oh, oh, peace is mine.
Oh, peace is mine.
Oh, Lord, peace,
peace of the Lord is mine. Oh, the peace of the Lord is mine. And I have to tell him that this morning, I told Satan, get behind me, for peace today is mine. Can we say love?
Love is mine.
Do you have the love?
Love is mine.
Oh, love today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. Love today is mine. Can we say victory? Lift your voice and say victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. I had to speak to him this morning.
Oh, I told Satan
with courage
to get thee behind. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. For victory today is mine. Oh, for victory today is mine. Oh, yes it is. Victory today is mine. Morning,
church. Well, if you was intended to get out by 12, you can kiss that goodbye. It is come and gone already. Today we want to talk about courage. Amen? And I think we need a little bit of courage in order to function in this society that we live in. But first, maybe we ought to look at what is courage. I went to Webster and to see what they had to say about courage, mental and moral strength to venture and prevent and withstand danger, fear, and difficulties, to resist oppression and danger, hardship, and firmness of mind to face extreme difficulties, willing to and not willing to fail. So as we look at this story here in Genesis, the conditions that we find Noah living in at this particular time, and this is what we want to focus on. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, again, we just invite your spirit to be with us. Illuminate our minds that we might learn more about thee. In Jesus' name, amen. It seems like God had just created things, and it was going along just fine. And all of a sudden, we find here in chapter 6 something taking place. And when it came to pass, when the men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and the daughters of men began to be born unto them, then the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them to wives, all which they chose. What was taking place here now? You had two different standards at that time. Seth's group, which were loyal and following God, and then you had those descendants of Cain, and they were classified as the children of men. And the Seth group was the sons and daughters of God. All of a sudden now we have this commingling, intermarriage and everything, part of, like we said, unequally yoked. And all of a sudden, things just begin to spin out of control completely. So much so that the Lord said that in verse 3, that what? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For he is what? Also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So what were some of the conditions that was existing at that time? And they said that there was violence and crime everywhere. Every imagination was on evil continuously. Growing up in that environment, and yet we have a man like Noah, he had to have some courage to be able to withstand what was taking place at that time. And there were some attributes about Noah, and at least three of them. One was that he was a just man amidst all the wickedness and all this crime and all this violence. We find that he was a just man, that he tried to treat his fellow men, he tried to do right by them. Amen? Even though that they might have been taking advantage of him, but he was a just man. He would, day's work, day's labor, whatever it was that he would pay them, so be it. Also, he was a perfect man in his generation. And it's almost, the Lord said, when he comes, the same condition is going to exist here in these last days. Wickedness, violence, off the scale. And today you read about something, good grief, that was the most horrible thing I ever heard of. Okay, just stay tuned for next week. They got something else cooking that's even worse. And this is the society that we find ourselves living in. Redmond was talking about by Dan Rhines and over there at 36. I know the area because I got family over there. We visit them over there off of the Dan Rhine there. And we know the conditions even there. Matter of fact, my mom and dad, they went to visit over there, and they got kind of lost. We couldn't get in contact with them. And so we called the police, and he said, well, where are they? And we said they was over there on the 60th West, off the Dan Ryan over there. He said, what? They over there in that neighborhood? I said, I think they are over there somewhere, but it was just trying to tell you that the conditions over there was bad, and that certainly there was no place for our parents to be at that time. But here we find that in this condition that he's trying to live up to all that he can do there in those days. Amen? What about our spirituality today? Are we just people? Do we treat our fellow man right? Are we perfect in our dealing with trying to keep God's commandments and doing the things that he required of us? Or maybe we just don't have the courage to be that strong. But also, they said that he walked with God. Amen? That means that he's imitating, that he's... I can imagine he heard the stories of Enoch. As a matter of fact, Enoch had... He lived about 69 years before Noah was born. And so, when he was taken and everything... And so he heard the stories, and here we knew the stories of Enoch, that he walked with God, that he imitated, that he everything he wanted to do, what would God do in a situation like this? It's blocking the full, his full blessing. He said, your service is tainted because you're not in sync, in oneness. And what would it take for us to all show up here on Sabbath, on time, early morning prayer service, you here for Sabbath school? Wouldn't that be something? It takes courage to pull yourself together to get the kids and plan for the next year, plan for the next Sabbath. And when should we start planning? When the what goes down? Sun goes down this evening, we should start planning for the next Sabbath. Thing is, we don't start planning until it's about half an hour or two before sunset. Now we're trying to get everything done, and we wonder why that it is not all done and everything else, and it's all messed up. Maybe Pastor Mackey working with, he wants to set up a sundown service on Friday. Maybe that would help us along. Amen? It takes courage to get here on time. Another thing, a matter of fact, that when I was listening to the doc talking about the stewardship, and he was mentioning about pennies, and I got down here about pennies. If you had 10 cents, one penny, you say, well, that seemed okay. But when you add the way God adds up, all of a sudden things begin to change a little bit down the road. Here we have 10 cents. And we find out that even in the church and members that have been in church for years, it's 10 cents, it's one penny for the 10 cents. And we find people that want to pay a half a cent. And some don't want to pay no cents at all. Or they think that if I pay maybe 3/4 of a cent, I'm sacrificing enough so I don't have to put in my what? Offering. And yet God has given you how many cents? You got 9 cents to deal with. And yet we find ourselves, we still want to hang on to God's penny. And we don't want to share, we don't want to give. It takes courage to trust God. Amen? You have, as a people that in this message and to know God and to trust him and looking forward to going to his kingdom, and yet he's promised that, you know, just have faith in me. Even if you just have a faith of a what? mustard seed. He said, that's all it takes. And if you're not thoroughly satisfied, just test me and see what happens. And we sometimes don't have even the courage to do that because we're clinging to it. Somehow I just can't release it. And you would think that if it's just a penny, at least I could give a half a penny for my offering or maybe a whole penny. Because if I know the Creator who has created everything, He created the gold, the silver, the diamonds, and all of that. He could do those kinds of things. Certainly what we're asking, and He says, look, sometimes you bring your little pay home, and what does He do to it? I blow on it. And you look for much, and what? It comes up little. All because we just don't have enough faith and trust in God. The thing is, if you don't have that, you're not getting out of here. Because that's what you're going to have in order to make it out of here. You're going to have the courage. You're going to have to be just like Noah. Living in those days, no matter what's going on around you, all the chaos, all the violence, and everything else, you have to stay focused. Amen? Amen. And he had to endure the ridicule. God told him to build an ark. He said, okay, I'll build it, got the dimensions and everything. And as I was reading it, and he said that he built it out of gopher wood, and to do what with it, pitch it within and pitch it without. What is pitch? I heard a slight, they said tar. But then I said, well, tar comes from what? Decomposed substance that's been there a long time that has turned into oil. And that hadn't happened yet because they hadn't had the flood. So evidently there wasn't tar that they were using at that particular time. And so as I looked at it, I began to read some more, and I found out that it was tree gum or sap that was used to make boat waterproof. Amen? And it mentioned that God said, I have repented that I have created man. And we look at this repent as maybe that God had made a what? Mistake. But he says, I don't make a mistake. As a matter of fact, we find here in 1 Samuel 15:29, it mentions that he is not, he will not lie or repent. And he is not a man that he should repent. This is talking about God. And yet we find here that he repent that he had made man. And here again, you got to say, well, the Bible says that God doesn't repent because he doesn't make mistakes. And then over in Genesis, we said that he repented that he made man, or that he was, it seemed like he was sorry. But the thing was, is they were talking about divine grief. How that he wanted man to succeed to the uttermost. And yet he said, I gave them everything. Tremendous intelligence. They said the spirit of prophecy mentioned that man was at least 25 times smarter than we are today. 25 times. And yet they lived how long? Hundreds and hundreds of years, 700-800 years. What have we accomplished in the last 100 years? And we think we have made a quote, quantum leap in technology and everything else. And yet they were what? 25 times smarter than what we are today. And of course, like they say, there is what under the sun? Nothing new under the sun. They have did it somewhere It existed, whatever it is, that man has already tapped into that, to that. So there's, we might try to bring something up again, but the thing is, there is nothing new under the sun. It's been done before. And even the technology, the stuff, the movement of people and everything else, I don't know what they had back in those days before the flood. But with the tremendous intelligence that Adam had, it had to be off the hook. Amen? And yet he came forth from God perfect and with full knowledge. Amen? Of course, we can get the same thing at BAA. You know. Oh. But the thing is, we want to have courage in these tough times that we live in to be able to live and to do the things that God has intended for us to do. Amen? It doesn't take much. Sometimes we can just only take one or two people to start it. And then people will start coming back to church, or they'll start. I know sometimes we have the prayer session, when in intercession prayer, and we invite people to come down. And some of you keep sitting in your pews, you say, well, it's no big thing. I'm still here in the room. But sometimes you can be in a crowd and you're still alone somewhere else. You're still not there. The thing is, God, he said, I'm a jealous God. I want you to just love me to death. And that's what he requires of us. And today, I need people of courage that's willing to, whatever it takes, I don't care if nobody else shows up. I want to be the first one here at church. I want to dedicate myself that I will be that person, that I'm that one person that I'm going to be at Sabbath school on time. I'm going to plan for that. Amen? And I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to pay my penny for tithes, and I'm going to give a penny for my offering. Amen? And God said, I can bless. I can stretch. I can multiply. But we have to have what? Faith in God. Amen? Do we have any courageous people here today? Can I see any hands? I don't know if the Lord's looking down. I'm just disappointed. Yeah, I'm almost like he was before. I'm just grieved in my heart. I created you. I brought you into this marvelous message. And you're still doing the same thing. Not stepping up. Not moving forward, not doing nothing. And sometimes we think that we got it all going on and not realizing that if we don't pull it together, we're going to miss out on everything just because we just sat here. Couldn't even get a good hand raised about people that have courage, wanted to do, want to trust God more. Amen? Can we try it again? How many people we got out here with some courage? Right. All right. To do the right thing. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Being, and maybe we ought to try just those two things. I got a, there's a couple of series on other courage, about baptism and everything else, but I think these two is just enough. Amen? We don't want to give you too much. Certainly being at church on time, it shouldn't be a major stretch. You try to get to work on time. Certainly God should be more important. Amen? And you have a job, you earn a living, even if you're on fixed income. That's when you need to be trusting the Lord the most. Amen? And he said, I can watch over you. I can provide for you. I can stretch it to no length for you. And sometimes we just take it for granted that I can handle this myself and not realize that I'm just messing it all up. So we have to have courage to pay the full 10%. How much? The full 10%. I mean, the 10% that belongs to God. Out of that 10 cents, I give him one penny. And then my offering. Sometimes we give just comfortably. It has to be a sacrifice. So if you're comfortable, you got to step it up a little notch to make it so that I'm in that zone where I don't have the control. I'm in that zone where I don't know what's going to take place. I have to trust God. I'm in that zone. That's where we have to be with God. Amen? And it takes courage to do that. And that's what I want you to have here at Southside. Amen? I want you to have courage. At this time, I want you to all stand, and we just want to just have prayer for us that we might have more courage. Amen? I'm going to be at church next Sabbath on time. Amen? Coming up to the first of the month, be getting your checks. I'm going to be a faithful tithe payer from now on. I'm going to have the courage to do the right thing. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, sometimes we're slowful, we forget, we take things for granted. And we realize, dear Father, that you're patient, that you're long-suffering. But we also know that there's a limit. And we just ask, dear Father, that you will forgive us for not trusting in you enough. Give us the courage to be faithful that as we should be with our tithes and with our offering, and with our time. We also ask us, dear Father, to help us to, when we come to worship, that you're the center of our attraction and that nothing's going to keep us from being here on time, worshiping you and giving you the praise and giving you the honor. For we all want to live with you throughout eternity, but we know it's cost, it's a sacrifice. And we just pray, dear Father, in a special way that you bless us here at Southside. And for those who are mustering up the courage enough next Sabbath to be on time and also to start doing a better program with their tithes and offering, that they might be a better steward. Again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
The ushers will dismiss you at this time.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.